Well, this man, again on Saturday, got plenty of FaceTime on national TV. Joe Fisher, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, for our daily update. What's going on, Joe?
How you doing this morning?
We're doing well, and the Commodores playing some good basketball, and I don't think it's much of a coincidence that A.J. Ogilvie's continuing to play well, and that certainly helps Vanderbilt's chances of winning basketball games.
Oh, I think when A.J. and Jermaine Beal play well, the team's got a very good chance of playing well. And you know, the win over Ole Miss Saturday might be their best all-around game, certainly in conference play, but maybe even more than that, maybe the season. You know, they shot the ball 54% from the field, 66% in the second half. You know, rebounded well. They out-rebound Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is one of the better rebounding teams in the conference. They hold Ole Miss to 36% shooting, 25% in the first half. You know, they got off to a great start, built a 19-point halftime lead, let Ole Miss cut it down into single digits once in the second half, and then they pulled back away again. And I just thought overall it was a very balanced performance, and a sample of what's to come as well. Because not only did AJ and Jermaine play well, but you know, I thought Lance Goldberg had a spectacular game, especially in that second half, all 11 of his points in the second half. And to see the young guys like that, Brad Tinsley and Jeff Taylor and Steve Chingame play well, that's kind of an indication of what's to come for Vanderbilt.
Joe, getting back to AJ, and here's why I like the win from a Vanderbilt perspective, because I thought they played their best 15 minutes of the year in the first half. Yep. Where they, you know, shot the ball well, they did everything well, but you know, passed the ball, you know, extremely effectively. But here's why I liked AJ's performance, because it came when they needed him.
Yep.
It came when they cooled down a little bit. He scored 14 of his 17 in the second half, but he jumped into the passing lanes, you know, made some steals. He drew a charge, you know, kicked the ball back out to the right people.
Yep.
I just liked the way he played. This was, in my opinion, you know, vintage A.J. Ogilvie, not resembling sort of the soft player we've seen on and off the last couple of weeks.
Well, and to that point, Mark, I think he really kind of set the tone in the first half, and he didn't do it by scoring. He did it by pounding the boards.
Yeah.
I think he pulled 7 rebounds in the first half. He was really physical, really aggressive. I know Kevin had told the guys that they were going to have to come out early and send a statement because this was going to be a very physical game, and A.J. took it to heart. And I think that did as much as anything to set the tone for how they played in that game. You're right, AJ has had a tendency, or kind of the knock on him has been a slow start and a quick finish. And he put on, I thought, a great performance in the first half to set the tone, and they didn't need him to score during that particular time. He pulled rebounds. As you said, he made nice passes to, you know, to open players. He did what they needed to do, and then in the second half when they needed the scoring, he provided that too.
And here's why I like Tinsley. He showed added maturity, made a couple of laser-like passes either inside or again to the right player, and then hit shots from the outside, and when need be, put it on the floor. Yep. And took it to the hole. When he does that, they become very hard to guard.
Yeah, they sure do. He had 5 assists in the game. He had a couple of steals, as you mentioned. When he and Jeffrey put the ball on the floor, they become a kind of a different element for a defense to deal with. And I just, you know, I hope that this continues for them, this maturity, this growth, and it should. But they play it. And the other thing that I thought was interesting, Kevin told me after the Alabama game, he said, "I still find it hard to believe that these guys are so nervous before a home game. They were actually, you know, a little nervous going onto the floor in front of a sold-out Memorial Gym crowd, even though it's their home crowd." Well, for some reason, and I don't know whether it was fatigue or what, because they had played 36 hours earlier, they didn't appear nervous at all on Saturday. So maybe that's part of the maturation process as well.
That's a pretty tough turnaround, isn't it, to play a Thursday night game and then a noon game on Saturday?
Yeah, and we did it last year, and it was even harder last year because the Thursday game was a road game. So then you're not getting back home until after midnight. And so at least they gave us 2 home games to do it with. But it's part of the price that they're paying for the TV exposure. You know, I think the coaches wanted more, a better TV package. They got it, but in getting it, they had to, you know, agree to, okay, we're going to play some Tuesday night games, we'll play some Thursday night games, and so we're going to have a Thursday-Saturday turnaround every once in a while, and that's kind of the way it goes. But that's what the price they're willing to pay for the exposure they're getting.
And then, Joe, for the women's team yesterday, they went to Lexington and shot the lights out in a win.
Yeah, they did. Their best shooting performance of the season, again, over 60%, and, you know, Christina Worth had 20 points. They win by 10 there, 72-62. That was a very important win. because now on the schedule for Vanderbilt, in order, Florida, Georgia, Auburn. So you know they're gonna make a lot of the where the standings are gonna work out for the season are gonna be decided in this next week and a half. So, but at least they're coming home to play. That's a very big game starting on Thursday against Georgia. So, did you guys see Cutler yesterday in the Pro Bowl?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting story on him in the Denver Post. You know, he was sitting over on the bench when Kerry Collins came out. Cutler went in to replace him, and Cutler did not throw a warm up pass. He just they said, okay, Jay, you're going in. He put his helmet on, kind of shook his arm a little bit, and went out on the field. And he said, hey, it's 95 degrees. I don't need to throw, you know. And so it's kind of funny. And I thought he played pretty well, especially that first drive when he came in, looked pretty good. But he had an interesting week. You heard about the prank that was pulled on.
Yes,
I'm sure.
They threw him in the pool.
Well,
and
actually, the first prank was Peyton Manning. According to – I read it on – I think it was Yahoo Sports that reported it first. They were all standing around the pool. And a couple of the linemen sort of sandwiched Jay where he couldn't move, and Peyton Manning grabbed Jay's cell phone and threw it into the pool. Well, what Peyton didn't realize was what he had actually grabbed was his insulin monitor and thrown it into the pool. And so the prank, once he realized that, Peyton kind of went, and Jay was very cool about it. Don't worry about it. I can get another one. You know, and they made a couple of calls and had one delivered. But, you know, he has to wear that constantly to monitor his sugar level and insulin level. So the joke kind of backfired a little bit on Peyton and the guy.
Hey, Joe, thanks as always. And Coach's show coming up tonight.
See you tonight, 6:30 over at the Commodore Grill.